Good Monday morning. It is Pastor Tony, Monday morning podcast teaching. Yet again, here we are. Thank you to everyone that gives me great feedback on these. Several of you tell me how much you enjoy these, and I really appreciate that. I'm glad that you do, and I appreciate the feedback. I'm glad these help you out. The intention of these is to teach. I'm not here to preach. I'm not here to evangelize or prophesy. I'm here to teach and to encourage. And this is a portion of our discipleship. So I like these. It is a good opportunity for me to share and to talk. And I ask you questions, even though you can't answer me back. But when I ask you questions, I'll hopefully at least get some stuff cooking in your brain, right? So that is what these are all about. And I really do appreciate your time. Thank you for listening and giving me a few moments to grow together in the Word of God, because it grows me as well, because I have to study for these and think about this and pray about this and things like that. Hope you had a great weekend. Philippians 4:4, I quote it nearly every week. Rejoice, and again I say rejoice, so rejoice at all times, rather. So, good day, bad day, good Monday, bad Monday, Monday blues or Monday joy, whatever you got going on today, choose to rejoice and have a great day. So, all right, we are going to begin a brand new series today. This is part one, brand new series, and we're talking about financial miracles. That's right. I'm going to spend a few episodes talking about financial miracles. My goal today is to teach us and encourage us and share some stories and share some scriptures about the financial miracles of God. Because, can I encourage you this morning? God is a provider for His people. He really is. He really is a provider for His people. Let me ask you, what has God ever done for you financially? Can you think of some things? Can you think of some ideas of some stories, some times that God has just helped you and done miracles in your life? I guarantee you, you're saying yes, because that's just the nature of our God. Our God is a God that cares about us and watches over us and pours into our lives when we operate in the principles. And so I want to share some scriptures, and I want to be teaching about the principles of giving and also sharing some stories of financial miracles. Now, I have several to share. In each one of these episodes, I'm going to share different stories, real stories in my life, real stories in my wife and I's experience of God giving us absolute miracles financially. And God does it because of the principles of tithing and offering. And that's what I want us to talk about. So thank you for joining. We're going to start with that. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about giving. Did you know that? The Bible does have a lot to say about giving. Now, I know that preachers have a bad reputation when it comes to this topic, because there are national, international ministers on Christian television and YouTube that abuse this topic. Amen. I agree. There are people that have taken this to the extreme and have twisted it and turned it into a get-rich-quick scheme, or treating God like He's a divine heavenly genie, a God that's there to meet our every financial demand and take care of us and make us all rich. I heard a preacher one time on TV receiving an offering for a ministry. And he was saying that particular night, he was saying that if you sow tonight, God is going to give you an apartment complex so you can rent it out and become rich. Can I tell you that there are not enough apartment complexes on the earth to promise one to everyone who was watching? I mean, think about that kind of nonsense, right? We've seen the abuses of people taking prosperity to an extreme. of people misusing the gospel and turning it into a financial game gimmick. Yes, yes, yes. That happens. And because that happens, it has turned the stomach of some people wanting to hear about financial miracles and financial teaching. But I think that you have followed my podcast long enough to know that I bring balance. Someone say balance wherever you are. I bring balance to my teaching. And I bring balance to what I share. And so hopefully you know, even starting right now, that you know this is not going to be some out of balance, get rich quick, so today and God's going to give you a brand new llama tomorrow kind of teaching. But rather it's going to be based upon the Word of God. What does the Bible say about giving? What does the Bible say about tithing? I've heard people say that tithing's Old Testament and Christians should never tithe. I've heard people say Christians should only give offerings. I've heard people say you should never ask for an offering. I've heard people say, you know, I've heard people say that, you know, you give to get rich and God will take care. You know, I've heard it all. You know, I've been saved long enough where I think by now I've pretty much heard it all. I don't know about you. Have you heard what I'm talking about? Have you heard these get rich quick infomercials on ministries, taking the gospel out of context, taking it to far extreme? Of course you have. We all have. This is not what this is about. I'm going to share some scriptures in these episodes, and we're going to share some stories of financial miracles to encourage your faith, to build up your faith. Now, I will say this. God is a God that will back up His Word and perform His Word when we do what His Word says to do. Do you believe that? Because I do. And if you do believe that, let me ask you this. Are you willing to do what the Bible says? Hopefully your answer is yes. There's lots of scriptures we can share. I mean, the Bible tells us over and over and over that God will take care of His own. The Bible tells us over and over and over that God is a perfect Father that takes care of His children, that He gives us what we have need of. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. That's that first 10%. He will take care of you. The Bible says in Luke 6:38, give, and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Do you hear what the Bible just said? The Bible just said, according to how you give, giving will come back to you. There's a principle right there. But can we all agree that if we don't give at all, nothing's going to come back to us? Because the principle is you give and God blesses us back. So I want to talk about these kind of things and talk about some scriptures and talk about what the Bible says about a right heart of giving and the reason for giving. You know, Malachi 3:10, I am one that believes in tithing. And I'll tell you why I believe in tithing, because the Bible says, try me and see if I'll not do it. Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test this, says the Lord, test this, says the Lord, and see if I'll not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour you out such a blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. That's a promise. Someone say promise. Are you a person of your promises? Well, whether you are or not, I guarantee you God is. And God does what He says He will do. I have so much to say about this, and this really is an exciting topic. It isn't about receiving an offering from you today. No, I'm trying to teach and build up your faith and encourage you about what the Bible says. And so I'm excited about this new series. I'm excited. Hopefully it builds up your faith and helps you. But I am going to share a financial. Now, in my life, in my walk with God, the one area where I have seen miracle after miracle is in finances. That's where I have seen miracles in my walk with God. I have seen God make ways where there was no ways. Well, that's because, you know, you're a preacher. Nope, God did it before I was a preacher. Well, that's because you have money in the bank. Whether I have money in the bank or not has nothing to do with this. And there have been times in our marriage, if not for the majority of our marriage, where we didn't have two pennies to rub together after bill money. So I know what it is to struggle. And I know what it is to not be able to pay bills. But God, I know what it is to have to trust God for a financial miracle every single week, or the ends won't meet because the paycheck wasn't enough. But God, I have seen God put food where there was absolutely no way to get it that particular day or week. So, yes, I have seen God do many, many financial miracles. I would have to say, and I will share with you today, that finances is the area that I have saw more miracles in my life than any other area. I don't preach on finances a whole lot. Matter of fact, if you go to the Refuge Church, you've not heard one sermon in over 2 years on giving. But there's also not a time that I don't get up to receive the offering that I don't preach about a two-minute sermon on giving. So really, whether we recognize it or not, I'm preaching a sermon on giving every Sunday morning. It's just quick, short, and small because I want to increase faith. And people are doing it. People are giving. Giving's going up. So that is the point of these. And I want to start out with a recent story. Now, maybe you've heard this story here because it is recent. And if you follow me, you know what happened. But just this past few months ago, actually, you know, we have a 2014 Hyundai Santa Fe. That is our nicest vehicle. It's not brand new, if you'll note. I said 2014. But our engine just went out. I mean, completely just stopped. And we were driving up the interstate, and it just quit. I mean, it just lost all, I'm not a mechanic, but it lost all compression in the engine. The engine light began to flash, and it was going out. And you could smell something burning in the engine, and something wasn't right. And we were able to get it off the road and drive it down the road to a bit where we had to call a tow truck that we didn't have money for and call a friend to come pick us up. Now, so the engine just went out. And so I had to pay $300 for that tow bill to have my vehicle towed back to our home. And I had it taken to a garage in a couple of days later. And this guy charged me $300 to tell me nothing. He charged me $300. Now, I'm going to tell this story, and I'm going to use money because this is a money series, all right? So now I'm $600 into the hole. He charged me $300 to tell me that the engine's blown up and there's nothing we can do about it, and that I needed to take my car and trash it. So that's what I was told. So I paid $300 to be told I need to trash my vehicle. Yeah, that makes a great day, doesn't it? And so not taking that horrible advice, I called my uncle, who's a mechanic, and was telling him, and he said, you know, have you kept all your oil changes up? Yes. Have you kept, you have records of everything? Yes. He said, you need to contact Hyundai and see what they say. Well, you know, this vehicle has 130,000 miles. That's 30,000 miles beyond the manufacturer warranty of the engine. And I'm not the original owner. I'm the second owner. I'm the second owner of this vehicle. So the engine warranty's out. And so I called Hyundai and told them that. I said, hey, this is what's happened. The engine's out. And so they said, well, bring it up to us and we'll look at it and we'll go from there. So I'm paying another $300 to have it towed now to the dealership. So I'm $900 in the hole. Anybody with me right now? I'm $900 in the hole and nothing's happened so far. So long story short, Hyundai says that, you know, it's out of warranty, the engine's ruined, and there's nothing we can do. He said, however, we will apply and see if they'll honor it if you can prove all your maintenance. And I certainly can. He said, now don't get your hopes up. They're not going to do it. They don't do this kind of thing. It's a shot in the dark, but hey, why not try? Well, you know, but God. Someone say, but God. So I took all my maintenance records to them, and they filed the claim. Well, meanwhile, me and my wife and a few of our friends and stuff, we're starting to pray. Someone walks up to me and hands me a check for $1,000. This person had no idea the details of what was going on. This person did not know the numbers. Now, hold on just a minute. Remember I said I'm $900 in the hole? God paid that. God handed me a $1,000 check. Well, I'm a tither, so $100 went to God. What was left? $900. How much was I in the hole? Somebody shout glory. God done paid the bill. See, this is the kind of thing God does in my life because I'm a giver, because I'm a tither. And the Bible says that God will take care of his people. Well, you know, so here I am. And at this point, I know that God's got it. At this point, I know God's got it. He's already paid the tow bills. And, you know, I'm $900 in the hole, and God's already taken care of it. Well, long story short, if you don't know the end of this story, I got a phone call from Hyundai, and they said, actually, they have approved a full replacement of your engine for free. Not only have they approved a full replacement of your engine for free, but come get a rental car from us for free. Look what God did. God put a brand new engine in my car, gave me a rental car, and paid the other $900. That is an absolute financial miracle. Financial miracle. God came through in my life. Someone else might be healed of cancer, and they can go before the church and say, God, take away my cancer, and that's amazing, and I praise God. But what I just told you was an equal bona fide miracle, because God does this. You say, well, why did God do that? Because of biblical promises, biblical covenant. He says, when you do what I say, I will take care of you. I do what God says. I tithe and I sow offering. Okay, so are you saying we give to get? No, I give out of covenant. I give out of biblical promises. But when I do that with the right heart, and I'll show us those scriptures, when I do that with the right heart, he then promises that he will take care of me. Let me give you another example. Now, this is an example that may not seem as extreme. Testimonies of miracles. That's what I'm doing today. Testimonies of miracles. There was a day, and this goes way back. This goes back to early 2000s. I was probably about 24 years old, maybe, something about that. We hadn't been married too long. I'm not a pastor. I'm not even a credentialed minister at this point. I'm working in a wholesale tire warehouse. Now, if you've ever had a warehouse job, you know what I'm talking about. Warehouse jobs are manual labor. It's 120 degrees in the summer and it's negative 10 in the winter. There is no air conditioning. There is no heat. Well, there was some heat, but it didn't work good enough to do anything. You're cussed at. You're screamed at. It's long hours, it's back-breaking work, you're filthy, and it was a bad job. It was a bad time of my life in terms of work. But I will tell you that God taught me a lot in that warehouse that prepared me for ministry. But anyway, one day I had no money for lunch. Now, mind you, I would have been just fine. I mean, you can fast for 40 days. I mean, mind you, I would have been okay if God would have let me go hungry that day. I would have been okay. But it was a manual labor job, and I was there 10 to 12 hours, if not a little bit longer, and I was hungry, and I was out of money. I mean, have you ever been out of money? I mean, I was out of money. I mean, I only made $9-something an hour, so you can do the math. I didn't make very much money. And Monica, we were just married. She was a homemaker, so she didn't work. So any money we had come from that job. You know, I was living paycheck to paycheck, and most of the time the paychecks didn't meet. And this was a particular week where I didn't have any money. I didn't have any money for lunch that day, and I was hungry, of course. And I just prayed, and I said, Lord, if you want me to fast today, so be it. Now, I'm talking about stories of financial miracles. You say, this isn't much of a financial miracle. Well, it is when you're hungry. It is when you're hungry. So I told God, I said, God, if you want me to fast today, so be it. I'll be fine. I won't die. But I'm hungry. And if you would provide me lunch, I would appreciate it. Well, so I went to work that day, and I'm working, and I'm already hungry. I think I had to go into work about 4 o'clock in the morning. I can't remember the exact shift at that point. And I had a good friend that his name was Dave. He's an older man, but we enjoyed working together. He was a Christian man. We enjoyed fellowship. We enjoyed talking about God and just having oftentimes we had church right there in the warehouse as we worked in manual labor and talked about God. But I'm talking today, well, I prayed and I asked God, if you want me to fast, so be it. If not, I need you to provide me some lunch. Would you know it? That particular day, Dave walks up to me and says, guess what, buddy? I said, what's that? He said, God's done blessed me with all kinds of extra money this week. I'm taking you to Golden Corral today for lunch. God done did it again. I said, God done did it again. Someone say amen. That may not sound like a big miracle to you, but it is when you're working manual labor and you're hungry. I'll give you another miracle. I have several miracles. I'm going to give you 2 more today. And if you like this and you want to hear more miracles and more stories, log on next week because I'm going to have them, because God has worked many, many financial miracles in my life. So here I am. Another story of God working on a miracle. I was a fast forward to later in the 2000s. I am, well, about mid-2000s, about 25, 26. I'm trying to be an evangelist. Another story for another day. But, man, it's hard to get opportunities when you're Tony Cox. I don't know why. People tell me all the time, say, oh my goodness, you can preach the house down. I've heard that since my first sermon. Oh my goodness, you can preach the house down. I preached at a little country church one time in East Lynn, West Virginia. If you don't know where East Lynn, West Virginia is, it's a middle of nowhere and turn right. They have banjos and guitars for the worship team. It wasn't a worship team. It was 2 old men. But that was the worship team, and it was a banjo and guitar. And I preached in that church for the first time I ever preached in that church. And I remember a gentleman, he walked up to me and said, how long you been preaching, boy? And I said, not very long. I told him, and he said, you preach like you've been preaching for 40 years. I mean, everywhere I go, people tell me how amazing I can preach the house down. Pastors tell me I can preach the house down, but no one ever wants to schedule me. I've been dealing with that all my ministry. I don't know what it is. But anyway, this particular time of my life, about 25 years old, I was trying to be an evangelist, and I finally got this date to preach a revival in Genoa, West Virginia. If you don't know where Genoa, West Virginia is, you go to the middle of nowhere and turn left. That's where Genoa, West Virginia is. God moved in that revival, this little ran-down building. It smelled like mildew when you walked through the front door. There was so much moisture in the building. Roof stains. The ceiling was, the drop ceiling was sagging down at places. It was so wet with moisture from the leaking of the roof. A little poor church in the middle of nowhere. And I was booked to preach revival for Pastor Joe Sexton. And we're having revival, and boy, God's moving. And the revival gets extended, actually. It went so well, the revival got extended. But about a halfway through that revival, I had a little junky car at that time, and it broke down like it always did, and my alternator went out. Now, mind you, I'm talking about miracles, of testimonies of miracles. Someone say testimony of miracle. I worked at that warehouse job at this time, and I told God that if he would give me a revival, I would take the week off, and I would sacrifice my paycheck. You say, why would you do that, preacher? Because I wanted to be able to spend the whole day praying and studying for that revival and go out there and give those people my best effort. So I did. I took the week off. That means no pay because I was hourly. So now I'm losing money for bills. And my paycheck is the only income. So I'm losing money. And while I'm preaching this revival, the alternator goes out. Well, I don't have money, and I'm already losing money. I didn't have money for an alternator, and I didn't have money to pay someone to fix it. But God. Someone shout, but God. Financial miracle. A man offered to fix it for free, and when I took the alternator in, I come to find out the alternator was under warranty, and it was for free. Now, I had no idea how that all worked out, but it worked out. So the part got put on for free. The part was free. And guess what happened? Someone say, guess what? The offering that I got in this little teeny ran-down church that was so dilapidated you could smell the mildew from the roof leaking, they gave me in the offering, oh, I'm about to shout, they gave me in the offering the exact amount of money that I would have gotten at work if I hadn't taken the week off. So look what the Lord did. I took the week off to pray and to study for this revival. The revival goes so good, it gets extended. The offering I get was the exact amount I would have got on my paycheck, didn't miss a penny, and God gave me the alternator for free through some kind of situation. I got the alternator for free, and the man put it on for free. Look what the Lord did. I'll give you another example of another testimony of miracles, and I'll save the rest for next time because I got several. One particular day back in this poor time of our life, I went to work and left Monica at home. Now, we had no phone. We couldn't afford a landline. We couldn't afford a cell phone. I go to work. She's there in the apartment by herself, and we had no money. And we hadn't went to the store, and I didn't realize it, but there was nothing even there for her to eat for lunch. So she was stuck at the house with no lunch, no food, no phone, and no money to get anything. Well, I go to work, and I totally forgot about it. I didn't even cross my mind. And I got home, and she was all crying and praising the Lord and all this. And I said, what happened? She said, well, you went to work, and I have no money here. There was nothing left. You had packed your lunch and left, but there was nothing left for me to eat. There's nothing here for lunch. And I just told God, I said, God, I need food. I need you to take care of me. About an hour later, there was a knock at the front door. Someone say, but God. Knock at the front door. Open the door up. It was her dad. He said, I don't know why, but I got up today and it just crossed my mind to go down here to Tudor's Biscuit World and buy you a hot meal and bring you and surprise you with a hot meal today. The Lord done did it again. Now again, that might not sound like a big miracle to you, but if you're stuck at home and have no money and no car and no food and you ask God to provide and that kind of thing happened, that's a miracle. That's provision. Now, I can go on, and I'll share more miracles with you next week if you're interested. But listen to me. This is the kind of thing God does, from the big things to the little things. From a multiple $1,000 car miracle to a lunch miracle, God will provide when we do what the Bible says. Malachi 3:10 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Stop right there. That word tithe in the Hebrew means 10%. So bring your entire 10%. In other words, 10% of all your increase to the storehouse. That word storehouse in the Hebrew means, it's a word that means the place where you're being spiritually fed. That's why we teach that the tithe goes to the church that is feeding you. The tithe doesn't go to the missionary. The tithe doesn't go to the TV minister. the tithe didn't go to the kids ministry or the outreach ministry or anywhere. The tithe goes to the church that is feeding you. That's what the Bible says. And why is that? That there may be food in my house. Well, what does that mean? What he's saying is, when you bring tithe to the church, it causes the church to be able to do ministry. When you bring tithe, when we bring tithe to the church, it causes the church to be able to do ministry. That's why he wants us to tithe. God doesn't need my money. God doesn't need your money. God wants us to give a tithe into the house of God because it's that tithe that causes this church to function. You know, the church has financial responsibilities, and this is how God meets those responsibilities. And here is the exchange. God says, if you do this, test me and see if I will not open up the doors of heaven and pour out blessing on you, so much so that there will be not room enough to contain it. So that's why I call tithing a covenant, a contract, an agreement. Because God says, if you'll give me 10%, I promise you I'll take care of you. Well, the biggest thing I've ever heard people say about this is, I hear you. I understand what you're saying. I believe it. But I can't afford it. That's the biggest thing I've always heard as a pastor. People say, oh, I hear you. Oh, I believe what you're saying, but I cannot afford it. When people say they cannot afford it, what they're saying is they're looking at it from a practical, logical standpoint. And I understand that. I understand that. They look at it from a practical, logical, budgetary standpoint. And they say, I have X amount coming into my life. And I have X amount going back out in responsibilities, and there isn't enough left there for that 10%. If I give that 10%, I'm not going to be able to pay Y and Z. It's simple math. I get it. I understand it. I'm a logical thinker. I am. I truly am. I'm a logical thinker. Are you? I get it. I understand it. It makes perfect sense from the human, carnal standpoint. But from the spiritual standpoint, it requires faith. From the scriptural, from the spiritual standpoint, God is saying, I know you can't afford it, but if you will step out on faith, watch me, try me, see what I will do. And what God's saying is, if you'll just do this, I'll take care of that. You'll never go hungry. Those bills will get paid. I'll make a way. I'll open doors. I'll put it on people's hearts. I'll give you weekly miracles if I have to. Now, with that said, we also have to be good stewards, and we also have to take care of what God gives us. If God gives us increase and you go out and blow it on things you shouldn't be blowing it on, and then you can't pay your bills, you can't come back and say, God didn't take care of me. Well, yes, God did, but were you a good steward? Did you make good choices? And so that's another lesson for another day, but we also have to be good stewards, and there needs to be a right heart about it. Matthew 6:2 says, so when you give to the needy, for example, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have their full reward. So, you know, we shouldn't be walking around bragging about what we're giving. By the way, do you know there's three different kinds of givings taught in the Bible? There's the tithe. Now, that's required. We ought to give that to God. God says to do it. It isn't an option. For the believer, God says, bring your tithe, 10%, into my storehouse. Come into covenant with me and watch what I'll do. There's the offering, which is addition to the tithe. And then there are the alms. Alms is a fancy Bible word that means giving to the poor. So when you give to the poor, you're not giving a tithe. That's different. When you give an offering to the outreach ministry or to missions or to the online preacher or to the kids ministry, those are offerings, and that's not the tithe. That's something different. But the tithe is a very special covenant between you and God. The tithe is a very special thing between you and God. And this is where it all begins. Now, I like to tell people this. You start with the tithe. And then as you're more blessed, you also can give offerings. As you're more blessed, you can also give an almsgiving. But it starts with the tithe. That's where it starts, because that's where the covenant begins. So I'm going to wrap this up, this first episode. I got a little carried away and lost track of time, so I went longer than when I like to go. But I have more miracles to share, and I have more stories to share, because God has always come through for me. Try Him and see. All right? All right. Have a great day.